Over the past year, several corporate executives have taken key positions in Veterans Affairs Department, lured by the chance to help the agency change following scandals in patient care. Tom Allen, VA's first chief veterans experience officer, comes from the restaurant industry. He tells Federal News Radio's Emily Kopp that it was VA Secretary Bob McDonald's emphasis on serving veterans that made him sign up.
I had come back from a successful time in the Philippines, thought I had retired, saw him, and was very moved by what he was saying. And I said, you know, I want to be part of this. I'd like to be, So he ended up calling me after he got my resume, and I said, give me the hardest thing you got, and let me just help you. Because I could complete his sentences. I mean, everything he was talking about was starting from customer, which has, again, been my background. And so, but I had no clue when I came in as to what that meant in terms of a Veterans Experience Office. What is it you, how do you work with these massive administrations? And if you're a consultancy, you're only a consultancy if you have clients. And so they have to understand that we have, that we can help them and we can do something, help them to improve the veterans experience. So it's been kind of 8 months of figuring things out. What is it that we need to build? What would the organization look like? We're going through right now the hiring process, which in government takes obviously a lot longer than what I'm used to in the private sector. There are others. I mean, Scott Blackburn came in from McKinsey, recruited by the secretary. So he's brought in. Dr. Shulkin has come in from the outside now. And I think when you're coming in from the outside, you have a total different perspective, and you're asking questions that perhaps weren't asked before because you don't know. And in many cases, when you're asking somebody a question, you're realizing, okay, the process that we're doing right now isn't law, it isn't regulation, it isn't policy, it's just, you know, how people have been doing things. And when you share what the impact is on the customer, they're quite willing to change, you know, how they're approaching it. But that hasn't been the default before. Every single thing I do, how does this impact the customer? How does this impact our veterans? And as people start asking that, and I'm hoping that the human-centered design piece, because there's a lot of talk about the lean approach in Six Sigma, but unless you're tying that to an outcome that the veterans are looking for, it's not as useful.
Now, you're not only new to the organization, but your whole role is new, and the VA is one that has been under a microscope. Employees are feeling wounded right now. How are they reacting to you?
You know, in the frontline employees, I get along great. I love getting in the field. I love talking to the MSA, to the clerks, to the schedulers, the ambassadors, the security guards. I really get energy when I'm in the field. And I think they're the ones that get it, and they're the ones that really would like to do better. And when we're bringing in this new approach, so an assessment of somebody coming in, do they have a bias toward empathy, toward compassion? Would they make a good customer service person? Nordstrom talks about, you know, hire nice people. So in changing a culture, it has to be done facility by facility. You're not going to boil the ocean. You're not going to change 1,700 locations at once. It'll be facility by facility, and it'll be the employees in that facility deciding, we are going to be the best. We are going to achieve this. This is our facility. This is our family. These are our customers, our veterans. And so as we start to introduce some of these tools, it still has to be executed, implemented by them in the facility. It can't come down as a dictate saying, okay, we want everybody on Monday morning to be wearing red jackets. It's the emotional piece that you're trying to get from the employees. What you're trying to standardize in a service business is the routine, but you want the personality of the employee to come through so that they're able to be themselves and develop a relationship with a customer. You don't want robots who are doing the same thing. You want them to understand what the minimums are, but give them the freedom then to engage themselves to build that relationship.
You came from the restaurant industry. Explain why focusing on making employees more satisfied and engaged at work actually helps the ultimate customer, of course, in this case, veterans.
Well, if I use the example, because we spent several days in Seattle with Starbucks, and you know their employees are called partners. Disney's are cast members. Ritz-Carlton as ladies and gentlemen, USAA as associates. All of the employees in Cleveland Clinic are now called caregivers. So if I'm at the desk and I'm a scheduler, but my title is caregiver, I'm going to have a different view of what my role is, what my job is, than if you tell me I'm a scheduler. And if I'm a scheduler, a customer is an interruption. If I'm a caregiver, a customer is who I'm here for. I mean, that's why I'm here. So it's the focus on the employees is clearly the biggest thing we have to do. And one of the things that we've been working with the HRNA is the employee measurements to get those more frequently. Starbucks has a question when they're asking their employees, did we live up to Starbucks values today? And it's just one question. Actually, for their customer satisfaction, they only have one question. So they can tell just by the nature of that trend, are things going well, going poorly? And as I said, if you've got high employee satisfaction, you're going to have high customer satisfaction. So it starts with the employees. And it's actually, I spent the first months really focused on veterans, but then you realize pretty quickly that the game is here with the employees. How do I change this dynamic now? And in some cases, you've got bad processes that are producing bad widgets. Most of our employees understand that they're not taking care of this veteran, and they're feeling stymied because they feel this is their rules or this is what they're supposed to do, or they can't leave their station. And so one of the things you're trying to get to, I called it the courage of common sense. How do you give them permission to do something when they know that's what's right for the veteran? And if they've done something for the veteran in commission, that's far better than omission and not having done something, and reward them for having taken that risk to do something. I mean, what would prevent the employees from going outside on that parking lot to bring that veteran in, bringing a wheelchair out there? There were some rules in place that impacted their behavior. So with our veteran experience teams in the field, we'll be trying to identify those items and say, is this local or is this systemic? Is this something that we need to do on a VA level, or is this particular facility? So there isn't one size fits all. I mean, it'd be nice to say that. At least we have to have the same standards of what a veteran should expect. They should get a minimum level of care in Boston as they get in Orlando. There may be some wrinkles to it, but instead of local adaptations, but as a minimum, this is what they should get when they come into the facility. Predictability is, I'm going to set your expectations for you. You're starting this process. I want to set for you what you should expect in the process. We're not doing that right now. Every company does that. Every company gives a promise to their customers that they then work to meet or exceed. Keeping you informed during the process. If I've dropped the ball, I tell you, hey, I told you, I'd get back to Friday. It won't be Friday because this came up, but it'll be on Wednesday. So keeping the person informed is a massive one, because the veterans call VA right now a black box. They have no idea what's happening with their claim, what's the process. And just letting them know that there's action taking place would be enough. Consistent is a consistency from visit to visit and from location to location. And consistency requires that you have standards. It requires that you have items in place that are repeatable. Right now we have some, as Steve Finn said, we have extraordinary service in VA. Sometimes, some places. What we don't have is that consistency all the way across. We haven't been able to execute that nationally. And the last one is make it easy to be a customer. And every company we ran into, that was one of their big mantras, was make it easy to be a customer. And my goodness, for our veterans, what we put them through, it's amazing they have the patience they have.
I would think that's maybe one of the biggest shocks coming from the private sector to government, because your restaurant customers can go to lunch one place and dinner another place and never come back to the first place if they don't want to. So you really have to work hard at that. The government isn't in that type of position, though.
We don't view that way, though. I mean, we're here to earn their respect. We're here to they have provided a service to our country that we owe them, and we need to serve them and do a better job in doing it. And I don't think anybody views it as, you know, it's a closed shop and they have to come to us anyway. We want to exceed the expectations. We want to earn their trust. And that's, I don't think anybody is looking and saying, well, you know, this is all we have to do. Everybody's looking at how do we even get better.
You spoke about how when you came in to create this customer service office, you thought that you'd be giving support and guidance, but you're actually taking on some of these things that will make customer service different yourself. Tell me a little bit about that and why you decided to bring that in-house, so to speak.
Well, it wasn't totally my decision. But the what you have in VHA and VBA, you know, what's called the silos, NCA, the Veteran Experience Office is the only office that's at an enterprise level, where we have access, we have visibility across the administrations. So some of the enterprise initiatives needed to be in an enterprise level office. And when you get down to it, every single thing we do impacts veterans' experience. So we're the business sponsors of those three initiatives, customer data integration, the unified digital experience, and the national contact center. The work's being done through others. So we're the business sponsor that's driving that from an enterprise level.
We're speaking with Tom Allen, the Veterans Affairs Chief Veterans Experience Officer. On Veterans Day, you're going to be rolling out vets.gov. Can you just give us a preview of how that experience is going to be different from what veterans have to go through now?
The language is different. The graphics are different. It's being done. I mean, one of the things that we were looking at and analyzing the current websites, the worst case was a website where they required 17 clicks to reach a PDF file, which you had to print, fill out by hand, and mail. So we've been analyzing, you know, what we've done, and we've got an incredible group of folks in the digital services who are doing it in an iterative way. We're doing it with veterans. We've got about 500 to 600 veterans who we are testing out each functionality with before it goes online, including blind veterans, so that there is an understanding, yes, this is ready to go. And so we will be doing one functionality at a time after it's been tested with our veteran group, and that'll go on onto the website. So it'll take us a year to have every single functionality. We're obviously working on the most important ones first. But on the 11th of November, it will be the content. We won't yet have the secure sign-on, and we hope that we will just keep improving that each month.
Going back to employees, you were speaking about how it's so important to focus on them, but there's so much pressure on VA employees right now from Congress, from the public. How do you counter that when now people are afraid to do something for fear they might get in trouble or lose their jobs? They don't have a lot of incentives to take risks.
I think Dr. Shulkin addressed that, and I think he did a great job of it when he said, my goal is not the accountability. It's allowing people to take risk and get something done. And if they make a mistake, they make a mistake. And as Scott Blackburn said, everybody owns that mistake. How can we change that and do something better? So a culture that we're all in this together instead of, you know, accountability of a single individual, how do you make the organization accountable?
Customer service is a concept that seems to be gaining steam through the Obama administration. All agencies are trying to figure out how to do it better. And you're one of the first agencies to really get started, hire somebody like yourself to be in charge. What do you think other agencies can learn from VA?
A tremendous amount. I mean, as you said, GSA had a chief customer officer that I think arrived 4 months before I did. To my knowledge, now I think there's still only the two of us at this level. The first thing is the tremendous message it sends to the organization, if there is a chief customer officer, that this is important to the secretary, to the person in charge of that agency. But the journey that we take, and I'd be happy, obviously, to help others who are looking at it, I think there's a tremendous amount that we can do in terms of the skills that need to be in place, the measurements, kind of changing the approach, looking at from the outside in, starting with your customers, then working backward. And I'm thrilled that this is something that the government's doing. Our goal is not to only make VA better. We'd like to have VA being the lead organization in the federal government in terms of customer service for our veterans.